the Lord showed up, and I really didn't feel like I had finished it. And I know y'all say I preached too long anyway, so I couldn't keep going at that time. So today I want to revisit, if you'll let me, whether you let me or not, Luke 16, if you'll turn to Luke 16. And while you're turning there, I want to talk about something. Before I talk about, I want to talk about this, a family with a member in hell. A family with a member in hell. Now, don't go out here today all puffed up and everything. Tonight I'm going to preach on some things that happen when heaven opens. When heaven opens. But today I want to talk about a family with a member in hell. So as I got to thinking about this, I got to thinking of a lot of things. And I want to read just part of that first, and then I want to show you some things that I've studied this week, and I want to share it with you, okay? Let's start, for the sake of time, verse 24 in Luke 16. Now, we know he's talking about the rich man and Lazarus, and the rich man in verse 24, and he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed," a great gulf, an expanse, "so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." Then he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house." Now send Lazarus from paradise. "For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Abraham said unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets." That's the Old Testament. That's all they had then. "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets," that's the word of God, "neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead." Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. A lot in that. So much in that. I want to talk to you today about a family member in hell. A family. Now, this is not easy to talk about. And I've never heard this sermon before. I've never heard the subject. I've never heard the topic before. A family member in hell. Nobody wants to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. You don't want to talk about it. But I think it's in the Bible. We must talk about it. Amen. I'm shaking. This is going to be very personal, okay? And it's going to hurt everybody in this room. It's going to hurt everybody. But I got to think about death this week. Think about this. And I know the media and the politicians, it's going to be this stuff until we get somebody other than a Republican president. We're going to have one tragedy, one crisis, something every week. But we hear all these things about these people with coronavirus. I know worldwide millions have died. And I thought, is that unusual? And then nationally, 100,000? I thought, well, is that unusual? I mean, it sounds real bad. And I don't know any of those, and I don't want to know any that do, but is that unusual? And I think it's 10, maybe 12 in York County now, which is astounding. That's astounding. That's so few. have died. And I thought, but is that unusual? So I thought about death. I thought about death. Nobody wants to talk about it because everybody fears death. Well, as Christians, we need to remember that He has taken the fear, the sting out of death.
Yes, sir.
We don't fear death. Matter of fact, we would rather be absent from the body.
Amen.
And to be present with the Lord. We fear pain because we're in a body. But we shouldn't fear death, okay? And however He chooses to take me out, that's His choice. But, so I got thinking about death. So I looked it up and I saw some, the World Health Organization, which you really can't hardly trust anymore, and others, but this is where I found these statistics. This is not written by Christians. This is not written by preachers. This is not written by Sunday school teachers. This is written by these supposed to be professionals that keep bean counters we talk about.
Right.
Bean counters. In the USA, every day, approximately 7,452 people die. In the USA, every day. That's about a person every 12 seconds. You count 12, somebody died. 12, somebody died. 12, somebody died. Every day in America. The coronavirus has had very little to do with this. This is an average, a yearly average. About 7,452 people in America die every day. The leading causes. Here's the leading causes of death. Now, I'm not talking about virus. I'm talking about death, hell, and the grave. Okay? Here's the leading causes. One in every four of those people is heart disease. You're more likely to die of heart disease than you are coronavirus. Approximately, because it changes every year, about a little over 600,000 people a year die from cancer. Some kind of cancer. 161,000 around that accidental deaths every year. Accidental. Might have been falling off the front porch. Car wreck. Y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
Now these numbers are just mind blowing, so don't try to keep up with them. Lung disease. Approximately 155,000 people a year die with lung disease. The major lung disease now being COPD. Every year. See, we got our mind on this one thing. Let's get our mind, let's get back to the big picture. Quit letting people manipulate us. And that ain't about that. Approximately every year, 142,000 people die with a stroke. A stroke. Hazel went home?
Yeah.
Edward had a mild stroke recently. Couldn't talk, couldn't move his hands, rushed him to the hospital. Alzheimer's disease, which, see, your Alzheimer's disease, that makes your brain stop telling your heart to beat, stop telling your kidneys to function because it gets a hold there. So approximately 116,000 people die as a result of Alzheimer's every year. Let's get our mind on the big picture, okay? Diabetes is the main cause for most heart disease, liver disease, kidney disease, so on and so on. Diabetes. It's a slow killer. Now, they'll put if you died of a heart attack, that you died of a heart attack. But they don't put that diabetes is what made your heart do that. Diabetes. The flu. Are you ready? There's two types of main flu, and they call it A and B now, I think. We got vaccinations for them. I take flu vaccination every year. And when I didn't, I got flu every year. I mean, I'm very susceptible to disease. So don't think I'm not, you know, realizing that there is a virus out there. I am. I'm very careful. The flu, between 50,000 and 80,000 people in the United States of America die with the flu every year. It fluctuates depending on what kind of flu it is. And these flus mutate where the vaccinations don't work anymore. That's the ongoing process every year. 50,000 to 80,000 people a year. Kidney disease. 50,000 people a year die with kidney disease. Suicide, 45,000. The coronavirus right now is around 100,000, they say. I don't know. We don't really know. But that's only about 6% of all the deaths. And since January in York County, I don't know if it's 10 or 12, it's one or the other. And so what I'm saying is this. Corona's all we hear. But I got news for you. You can wear plastic gloves, a mask. You cannot never leave the house again. There's people watching right now that's not leaving their house. And they've already told me they're not going to. They're not going to leave the house until there's a cure. There's never going to be a cure. Or until there's a vaccination. There will be a vaccination. There won't be a cure, just vaccination for 1 year. But they're scared to death.
Amen.
Now, our media and our politicians have done that. But now listen to this. We're all going to die.
Amen.
We're all going to die. You were born dying. You ever thought about that? You were born dying. And it's appointed unto man once to die. This past week, there have been sad when families have deaths and they can't even go to the funeral. That's a shame and disgrace.
Yes.
Now, since when does the government have the right to tell you not to go to a family funeral? And if you get the virus, that's your fault, or somebody brought it to you, but you still ought to have the option to go to a funeral. God help us. God help us. I'm saying this because death is real. But it's not something that the believer should be afraid of.
That's right.
It's not. Sickness you ought to be afraid of. It hurts to be sick. Sister Shirley got her last chemo treatment. We're praying God will take... He shrunk it 2/3. We're praying he'll shrink it the other third.
Amen.
Got that last treatment. We pulling for you, sis. She's watching. She's always watching.
Yes.
One of the sweetest ladies I've ever known in my life. But it's appointed. I don't want to be sick. And I avoid sickness. I'm not stupid. They act like we're stupid.
Yes.
We don't want to be sick. Nobody wants to be sick. If you do, you're crippled too high for crutches. You're already sick.
Right.
Some of y'all figure out what that means in a minute. But death is real.
Yes, it is.
And what I say, I lost my little paper. Every year, people die daily. Thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of people die every day. What did I say? One about every 12 seconds. Every day, people are dying. Now, we need to realize, I've got a wife and I've got children and I buried my mama just, 2 years ago. And we need to realize that our family members are going to die.
Amen.
You know, growing up, there's 10 of us. I never thought about anybody dying. I certainly didn't think I'd be the last one here. The way I lived, I figured I'd be in line for first, you know, to leave. But I've had to go and preach funeral after funeral after funeral after funeral after funeral. And we're going to die. Now, that's not a happy subject. I don't know anybody in there. John Coley's gone. He's the only one I would know that would say, praise God, I get to die. He would. He'd have said that. He said, praise God, I get to go. But I don't know anybody having a party over a family member dying, even if they are saved.
Yes.
The death of a family member is the most heartbreaking, life-changing thing that you will ever experience. The death of a family member.
Yes.
It's hard to go to a friend's funeral. But a family member?
Yeah.
I preached funeral where they lowered a little baby into the grave. The oldest funeral was my mama, 99 and a half. That was hard. But it's a life-changing experience. Somebody die in your family, you will never be the same. It's a loosening of a part of our identity. That family member is a part of our identity. It's a part of who we are. And we've got to let that family member go.
Yes.
It's ourself. Every sister, every brother that I buried, it was part of my flesh that I buried. The same mother. Are y'all with me? Now, I'm not trying to depress you. I'm trying to give you some facts here. I can't be Joel Osteen. He don't preach funerals. He don't visit people in the hospital. He don't go to people's sick beds at their house. He pays people to do that. Hireling. Crook.
Right.
It's time some pastors in America stood up and said, listen, we need to remember, you're going to die.
Amen. Yeah.
And those you love are going to die.
Yes.
Come on now.
Listen, it's a part of my heart that died that day. It's a part of my mind that died that day. It's a part of my spirit that died that day. Death is a curse and it's called by sin and it breaks us.
Amen.
No death is easy. It's easier if they're saved.
Amen.
But for unbelievers, there's something worse than death. That's the second death. The lake of fire. But that's not the only one affected by the death when they die. Just by the believer's death, the believer, they're not the only ones affected by their death. Their whole family is. And the same way with the unbeliever. When an unbeliever dies, they'll say, ah, don't worry about me when I die. Throw me in a ditch and cover me up. Ignorant. That's one of the stupidest things I ever heard in my life. I had a brother tell me that. Y'all still with me?
Amen.
I said, there's two things about that, brother. I said, number one, we love you. We can't do that. And number two, it's against the law. Amen. That sounds real brave and real tough, but let me tell you something. If you love somebody, you can't be that way. And for an unbeliever, certainly we can't go down to the cemetery and walk away the same way we went down there. It's a life-changing experience to know that a loved one has died and went to hell. We avoid it. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to remember it that way. The preacher's not going to say it at the funeral. And he shouldn't. He's supposed to be there to comfort people. I've never preached that somebody went to hell when I preached their sermon, knowing that they were not saved. I still did not preach that. I preached comfort to those who were left behind.
Yes.
Everybody in the family's hurt when somebody dies. But especially if they're an unbeliever. That's just my introduction. I got a few minutes. Here's the account of a man, two men. In Luke 16, one man died, went to paradise. Now don't get confused. That's not heaven. That's Abraham's bosom. That's the heart of the earth where people had to go. They couldn't go to heaven until the sins were paid for. But these were people looking for the coming Savior and trusting God to save them. And God put them over here and there was a great gulf between them. They called it Abraham's bosom because Abraham was father of the faith. And then over here was the fire and hail. And one day that's going to be emptied into the lake of fire. But it was over here, so the rich man died, and he lifted his eyes in torments, being in hell. And as he looked around, he looked over and he saw Lazarus over there in paradise. And it bothered him. And he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus over here, that if he'll just dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm tormented in this flame. And we talk about the reality of hell and the suffering of hell and all those things, and all that's true. But I want you to notice a couple of things about this family. Number one, look at verse 19. There was a certain rich man. This was a rich family. I don't know any rich families. Well, actually, I might know a couple, but they don't act like they're rich. But listen, very few of us know real rich people. Now, to me, rich is a relative term. I'm rich compared to what I was when I grew up.
That's right.
But compared to a lot of America, I'm still in poverty. Now, the U.S. government says I'm not in poverty. I'm medium income or something like that. And thank God I am. He's been good to me. Amen.
Amen.
Now, some people I know, if I died, they'd say I died a rich man. But this was a rich family. This rich man, he fared sumptuously. That means he had it all. He had it all. And did you know that if you'll turn to James chapter 5, verse 1 through 6, he says this. I'm going to go ahead while you're turning. He says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, said you cheated your workers.
Yes.
Cries, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the days of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. In other words, God says these rich people have condemned themselves because they've let riches run their lives and ruin their lives. And that's what, you can put a picture of Washington D.C. right there.
Yeah.
And, but he said payday's coming. Payday's coming. You've cheated your people that you work. You've done wrong to people. You live lavishly and wrongly. And now that very treasure that you live for is going to be what condemns you. So, in the Bible, we see this rich family, they had a loved one that died and went to hell. Amen? But I've got news for you. Lazarus didn't go to heaven because he was poor. I heard a preacher preach that one time at the funeral. That's a lie out of hell itself. Lazarus went to heaven, to paradise and in heaven, because he trusted a coming Savior named Jesus Christ. The rich man went to hell because he worshiped riches and pleasure. Amen. And he didn't care who that hurt. Look at this family. Verse 28, it's a large family. He says this, for I have five brethren. That's a pretty good sized family, wouldn't you say that? He said, I want you to send Lazarus back over there to tell my brethren, for I have five brethren. Large families, if they would get right with God, think of how much more could be done for God.
Amen.
Amen.
And a lot of us have large families. Thank God when he saved me. Boy, when he saved me, I started telling my family about Jesus. All we ever did was cuss and fuss and fight. That's all we ever did. That's all. We couldn't get along. There, Jerry asked him. We couldn't get along. We just fussed and fought and cursed and all this stuff, hurt each other. And then when I got saved, I went home and I tried to make it better. And as time went along, the cursing quit and all that hurting stuff quit. Now that wasn't me, that was God. Jerry was there, he'd done been saved, but they wouldn't listen to him. Judy was there, she'd been saved, but they wouldn't listen to her. But I'm telling you, Lord, God gave you a large family to get them to Jesus Christ so he'd get more glory by you working for him instead of working against each other.
Amen. Come on now.
And you'll love one another. Because one day there's a funeral coming and you're going to have to stand beside that grave and wonder, did that person really get born again and die and go to heaven, or did they die and go to hell, and how much did I have to do with either direction?
Right.
Don't tell me you're a Christian, you go home and fuss and fight with your kinfolks all the time. Don't tell me you're a Christian, you go home and cuss your wife and be mean to your wife or vice versa, the husband. Don't tell me you're a Christian, you go home, you got a bunch of youngins, all you ever do is cuss them. Don't tell me that. I grew up in that. I know you're a lying hypocrite. God gave us large families so he could do large works through large families. Billy, think what your family would be like if your daddy hadn't got saved. You wouldn't even be in here today. You'd probably be dead in hell. And thank God he gave us the families that he gave us so that we can do something for God.
Amen.
And then I want you to notice this. In verse 22, I don't care if you're rich. I don't care if you got a large family. Verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. I want you to notice this. Doesn't matter if you got a large, small family, rich or poor family. Every family, just like this one, is visited by death.
Right.
And every one of us have to face that fact. And these here, listen, just because you're rich is not going to soothe that death experience.
Right. Come on, brother.
Now, you sell life insurance. You ought to have it. You ought to. I hate doing cremations. I hate it. I don't think it's biblical. And I know some of y'all don't like that. That's your business. You do what you want to. Go ahead and take that money and spend it on something else. But I put mine on a nice funeral so my wife will be comforted. Hello. I don't want my kids to look at a box of rocks and say, "There's daddy." I want them to open that casket and say, "Don't he look at peace? That's my daddy. Ain't he handsome just like he was in life? That's my daddy." Amen? I want to be comforted. I don't want the last thing for them to see is me be on sick, dead, dying, and then in a box of rocks. It's hard enough for a family member to die, much less go through something like that. And I'm not selling insurance. I don't even have license for it anymore. But most of you, if you spend $10 a week on life insurance, they wouldn't have to go through that mess instead of buying those extra cookies you eat so much of. Amen.
Oh, man.
Now, this family was visited by death. It was a large family, so it's probably a large funeral. And it's a rich family, so it's probably a large funeral. Wouldn't you say so?
Oh, yeah.
And I say it all the time. In this church, if we have a death, you ought to be there.
Right.
If we have a funeral of a church member or church member family, you ought to be there.
Amen.
Well, I'm not going. Well, we'll watch your wife cry while nobody comes to yours then. Hello, that didn't cost you nothing. I just threw that in there for nothing, okay? If all people, this church family, ought to honor one another's death and our family's death. Sister Colleen didn't even get to have a funeral way up there in New York. We couldn't have got up there, but we could sure pay her a lot of attention. Did they ever plan that thing out?
It's coming. It's
well, let us know. We're going to send a big old bunch of flowers. I'm going to make these people pay for them.
Amen.
Amen. Let me tell you something. This is a big family. Had a big crowd. And they died. And you know what? I bet they had a lot of good things to say about this rich man.
Yeah.
I bet nobody went up there and said he was a stinking miser. He wouldn't even feed the crumbs to the poor man laying in his gate. He let the dogs go out there and lick his sores. Nobody said that. They got up there and said, "It's my honor to have known such an outstanding member of our society. It's my honor to be in the Masonic Lodge with this young man. It's my honor to be on the board of regents at the local university with this man. It's my honor to work for this man. He was a good boss man," and all other kind of things. Nobody got up there and said, "This man died lost and without God, and he went straight to hell."
Preaching. Yeah.
There's a lot of good things said about it. And then I want you to notice this. In verse 23, out of this large, rich family, verse 23, in hell he lift up his eyes being in torments. But now a family with one member in hell, a large family, a rich family, a well-to-do family, and the man died and went to hell, and it doesn't matter about the money or the position or the power. It's a heart-wrenching thing to have a family member die, and it's 10,000 times worse to know they died and went to hell. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. Did you know this family didn't have that hope? Now, we've all had family members that died, and we didn't know if they were lost or saved. That's sad. That's a sad situation to not know a family member is lost or saved. But in most cases, we do know. But thank God, when there's a family member that passes away, and we don't have to sorrow as others which have no hope. Because they believed that Jesus was the way, and they received Him. A family member with no hope. No hope. Now, I preach funerals. I'll be honest with you. I preach funerals where I knew the person. I mean, far as I knew, that person went to hell. Let's don't butter this up. Let's be honest. Because see, here's what happens. Brother Ron, is this thing where, here's what happens. When we butter this up and we don't talk about it, we're not going to be as anxious about the next one that dies. If we'll just get honest about this stuff, we'll have more concern about the next one.
Yep. Amen. Yes.
But we avoid it, and we don't want to talk about it, and we don't want to think about it. But the rich man died, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torment, and people die, and I gave you the numbers, people are dying every day, every 12 seconds, somebody in America is dying, and the majority of people are not saved.
The word says.
And they're not asleep, they're in hell.
Yeah.
And they're not buried down at the Memorial Park. They're in hell. They're not buried over at the Happy Gardens. They're in hell. In hell he lifted up their eyes being in torments. And I know you don't want to think about that. But we have to think about that. Go back to Luke 16. Look at verse 27 and 28. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that I would ascend to my father's house, back home. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Did you know a family with others is on their way to hell? But preacher, I don't want to talk about this. I know you don't. That's why nobody says anything.
Right.
And I don't like to talk about it. But it's the truth. And Brother Ed, if we pass this over, the next loved one will go to hell and we'll think less of that death than we did the other one. And then the next one will die and go to hell and we'll think less of that death than we did that one or the one before it. And pretty soon we'll be so hardened that we have no concern at all and we never talk about Jesus to our family and we never try to get our family saved and they can sit home while you go to church and it don't bother you. And they can get tattoos all over their face and their head and get spikes and everything else all over. And it don't bother you because, see, you don't really think they're going to hell because you ain't. There's ten thousands and thousands of people out there in the streets today going to hell. And most of them look like they're on their way to hell. And they certainly act like they're on their way to hell. And we'd be the first to stand up and cry aloud and say, please, don't go to hell. Stop. Stop. You're going to hell. But when it's one of ours, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I have no doubt. I've not had a doubt since they saved me.
Amen.
But I've had burdens for my family. My daughters are saved. I have no doubt my daughters are saved. My wife's saved. I have no doubt my wife's saved. I don't have a doubt. My mama was saved. I have no doubt. I was there when her life was transformed. I was there. I have a couple of brothers. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. They wouldn't talk about it. They wouldn't let me talk about it. My oldest brother, Bill, he got saved after I started preaching. I don't know. He was in his 50s. And Bill was alcoholic from the time he was 12, 13 years old. And if he didn't get something to drink, he'd go into delirium tremors and he'd have hallucinations. And I've seen him drink rubbing alcohol to try to stop that. I've seen him drink the Sterno from those Sterno cups trying to stop that. I've seen him drink shoe polish. He would strain shoe polish to get the alcohol out, trying to stop those hallucinations and stuff. And I saw him do that when I was a little kid. And then after I got saved, I prayed for him. I begged God to save him. And Bill couldn't read and write. He couldn't read a newspaper. He couldn't hardly read anything. He started painting with his alcoholic father when he was 13. Quit 12 and quit school and never learned how to read or write. And I loved Bill. And he's my oldest brother. He's about 19 years older than me. And one Christmas, he was going in and out of Mama's house. We was down there and Mama said, Bill's drinking again. And we knew what he was doing. He'd go in there and get some ice. He'd go out in the car and pour him some liquor, you know. And so I followed him out. And he opened his trunk. And he got his liquor bottle out. And when he got it out, I reached around him. And I took the liquor bottle and I poured it out on the ground. And I said, Bill, don't do that. Don't drink that. He said, and my other brother, Larry, was standing beside me. And he looked at me and with tears in his eyes. He said, if you was him, I'd beat the devil out of you right now. But I know you love me. Bill got saved about 2 years later. Bill's in heaven. He died a terrible lung cancer death. He died. But Bill's in heaven. Bill had no doubt he was going to heaven. But I got a couple brothers, I'm not sure. And they wouldn't listen to me. So I sat down and wrote them a note one day and I said, listen, I know we don't have the same father, but we got the same mother and we're brothers. And I love you and I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to get saved. I wrote some scripture out and I wrote some other things out and I mailed it to them. They never mentioned it. But I'll tell you what did happen. They quit cussing around me. They quit drinking around me. They quit making fun of me for being a Christian. I hope they got in. I just don't know. But I tried. All our family members are going to one of two places.
Amen.
I know I'm over time, but some of you ain't coming back tonight. Verse 28, listen to this. In Luke 16, look at verse 28. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. This was a family that had every opportunity and every chance to be saved by the grace of God. They already had it before he died. They had the same opportunity. They had the same grace of God that every one of us have.
That's right. No excuse.
Before he died, they had that. And he knew it. Let me tell you how I know he knew it. He said, Father Abraham, if you let Lazarus rise from the dead and go down to my father's house, they'd listen to a man that's risen from the dead. And Abraham said, no, they won't. No, they won't. They've got Moses and the prophets, the Word of God. And he said, if they won't believe Moses and the prophets, they will not believe though one rose from the dead.
Right.
What he said was, they heard the same Bible you did and you rejected.
Right.
They heard the Word of God just like you did and they rejected it. And a man rising from the dead and going to their house is not going to change that.
Amen.
How many times have you ever thought, if I could get them back, I'd do things different? Well, let me tell you, the only thing you could do different that would help them not go to hell. Here's the only thing you could do. Well, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The only thing you can do your family is give them the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And see, you beating around the bush is not helping.
Right.
I know you love your church. Thank God you love your church. You ought to. You might love your preacher. I hope you do. But that's not going to save them. We got the best choir in town. That's not going to save them. We got some of the best people in this county sitting in this room today. That's not going to save them. You know who they'll listen to before they'll listen to all that? You. Jerry's my nephew. His mama was my sister. She died when she was 22 years old of heart failure. I was about 8, I guess. Jerry was almost newborn. I think he was 2 years old when she died. He never really knew, huh? 3 years old. He never really knew his mama. She was simple-minded. I picked on Jerry all my life. Everybody I knew picked on Jerry. I mean, serious picked. I'm talking about real, real hurtful. Now listen to me. You know who Jerry says the greatest preacher he knows is? I don't know how he does me. I really don't. From now, hey, listen. From now on, when I'm preaching, there's two people we muzzle. That one and that one right there. But I'm trying to make a point. Listen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, now shalt be saved. And maybe the reason thy house is not saved is you. They got the same Bible you do. Moses and the prophets. They have the same opportunities you do. The grace of God is accessible to them just like it was you.
Amen. That's true.
Maybe they can't see the truth because of you. You've never shared it with them. See, some of y'all are dependent on the church to get your grandchildren, your children saved. They might get saved here, but if they go home and Jesus ain't at the house, what good is that?
Yeah. Amen. It's good, amen.
And before this year's out, all this corona fakery and stuff's going to pass away. All this Chinese disease and Chinese Black Lives Matter and all this stuff and Antifa and all that, you know, inspired stuff. All that's going to pass. All it comes and goes. All this stuff comes and goes.
Right.
But before this year's out, somebody in your family is probably going to die.
Amen. Yeah.
Next year, in June, the people sitting in here today, some of you will not be sitting here today. That day. Next year at this time, some of you people in here sitting here today, if your mother's living, she may not be next year. Your father may not be. Your brother may not be. Your husband may not be. Your wife may not be. Your children may not be. And you go ask me to preach a funeral. You gonna ask me to preach a funeral. And sometimes I know they're not saved. And you want me to comfort people that come to their funeral when you didn't even do your best to get them to heaven. Because you didn't want fuss. Well, I can't talk to them, they'd fuss. I'd scream.
Yes.
I'd holler.
Yes.
I'd fuss. I'd wrestle them if I had to. And I'd get up on Sunday morning, I'd say, we're going to church. I ain't going. I said, I'll drag your hide down there. You're going to church unless you're throwing up blood. I'm telling you what, you're going to be in Sunday school. You're going to be in church. Hey, I tell you what, not only that, if they go to camp, you're having camp, if they have revival, you're going to revival. And not only that, around here, we're not taking the Lord's name in vain. We're going to talk about him in truth, not vain. Because you need to get saved. But if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell.
That's it.
A family that had a member die and go to hell. How's your house? I'm not trying to be mean. You don't know how much I hate, not hate, how much I dislike to talk about this. But not only is it my job, it's my calling, but as your friend, as your friend. Because I'd rather do this than have to comfort, try to comfort you later where there will be no comfort for the rest of your life. No, so there's two questions I want to ask you today. Number one, are you saved? Number two, what about your house? Your children, your grandchildren. Father, mother, husband, wife, whatever it might be. Let's stand. Father, thank you. Yeah.